Well, this has got to be the corniest introduction I've ever done, but let's say hello, hooray, to Dennis Dunaway of the Alice Cooper Band, who joins us from Connecticut in his home. Hello, Dennis, how are you?
Hi, how you doing? Wow, we finally got together.
Guys. Yeah, we did. I'm afraid it got pushed over 24 hours down to my shortcomings, not yours, but we made it.
That's fine. We're both still alive and kicking, so it works.
We'll settle for that, I think, won't we? Now, <Yeah. laughs> the reason that we're talking today, Dennis, is because you have brought out a book, and this is just an amazing book. It's called Snakes, Guillotines, Electric Chairs, My Adventures in the Alice Cooper Group, and it tells the story from the beginning of you and Vince, or Alice, depending on how you want to name him. Now, the first thing I want to say to you, if I may, is I read this book and I thought to myself, do you know what, this is a love story, actually, because the guys in the band, and then your own personal love story with Cindy, there's love in this book on every page, almost.
It is, and you know, when I was having a tricky time selling the idea to some publishers early on, they just didn't quite get the concept of the book. But then I went into New York City and presented it as a love story, and they were practically turning cartwheels by the end of the meeting.
I bet they were, yeah. Now, you know, hopefully a lot of people are going to read this book and hear the story or read the story for themselves, so I won't give too much away. But let's start at the beginning. You put the band together in Phoenix, and it came together not for musical reasons, but for theatrical reasons, didn't it?
Well, it came from the beginnings were actually in art class. I was a sophomore in high school, 16 years old, and here comes this freshman, skinny little kid named Vince, who I'll call Alice just to make things simple for everyone. And we were in art class together, and he was the only one, you know, in the whole desert town who I could talk to about the surrealist art movement and Salvador Dali and pop art movement and everything. And so we hit it off quite well. We were also on the long distance team, and in the Phoenix heat, that certainly was a bonding experience. So we kind of had a real Ferris Bueller thing set up at our school. We had all kinds of little ways to get around the rules, and the school was only in its second year of existence, so the rules weren't set into stone like they eventually did, like most schools. So we got away with a lot.
You certainly, well, yeah, and you had fun, and you created this band, and it seemed to me reading the book that you went fairly quickly from, you know, playing local clubs and the high school things and that, to suddenly opening for the Yardbirds and bands like this that were touring. I mean, did you, at the time, did you sort of think, wow, this is just moving along really fast?
Well, it did, but we had, you know, high expectations. We imagined ourselves as being rock stars, and so, you know, moving along, there was a lot of hard work, and we were definitely good at promoting ourselves. We could turn on the charm, which we did with the local club owner in Phoenix, Arizona. It was the most popular teen club, and he was like a Dick Clark kind of a character and wanted to keep his pulse on what was happening with the teenagers. And we did an audition. He liked us, so we became the house band at the most popular club. So, like, overnight, we had money burning holes in our pockets. And girls, you know, yeah. It was great.
But it was rock and roll right from the start. But at the same time, I got a sense of family coming through. You talk about, you know, dads helping you to build stage sets and things like that. So there was a fairly sort of solid set of roots there, I think. Would that be fair?
Yeah, we also had to have the parents talking to the police that the neighbors called every time we rehearsed. Of course, later on, when we came back through town successfully, then they're asking for free tickets and bragging that they supported the boys all along.
You paint a very nice story of one of the policemen who, as long as you played his favorite tune, he was pretty happy to stand and watch.
Oh, he loves Shapes of Things, yeah. The Yardbirds version, and if we didn't play it, then he would hound us. As soon as we did, then he was all happy for the rest of the night, but he was the only cop that liked us. All the other cops, because of our long hair, you know, they didn't like us at all.
Talking about the Yardbirds, you also tell a lovely story that shows the sort of a level of naivety where you opened for them and did all their songs before they came on stage.
Yes, a high level of naivety. I talked to Jeff Beck about this, and Alice said he had as well, in recent years. Mm. And he said he remembers that because the Yardbirds were, you know, new and to America, and they were flying into this desert town, and he had never even seen a cactus before, and and so we go to the, they go to the club thinking nobody's going to have a clue who we are, and then the opening band does all their songs before they come out.
They were very gracious, weren't they?
Well, you know what it did, though? It certainly got them to up the energy on their set, because they decided, okay, well, we're going to show them how these songs are really played.
Yeah.
It was, they were incredible.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that struck me about the book is, as well as telling the narrative, you've got a lot of quotes in there. So I'm guessing you either took notes at the time or you've got an extremely good memory, Dennis.
I took notes. My wife, the original drummer of the Alice Cooper group, Neil Smith, his sister is my wife. This month will be 41 years we've been married, but she kept daily diaries, so I had that to refer to. I was the quiet observer back then, so I tended to remember things. You know, Neil and Alice and Michael Bruce and I still have talked. We're all friends, and we talk about those days through the years. So I have all kinds of sources that help keep my memory fresh.
You know, it struck me when I was reading the book and now talking to you that you're very much the Bill Wyman of the Alice Cooper Band, aren't you, really?
You know, Bill Wyman was the person that I listened to what he played on the early Stones records to learn how to play bass. Mm. I'd go over to Glenn Buxton's house, and we'd drop the needle on the vinyl record and play it over and over until we could figure out his patterns, which were his own unique versions of blues patterns. So, you know, and a lot of things that Bill Wyman did were very unusual, I think. But he did some things like on Paint It Black, you know, where he's doing the woo, woo at the end. Well, I used ideas like that, you know, and stuff that I did. And also 19th Nervous Breakdown with that, which is kind of a surfer thing. But I used that on Billion Dollar Babies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? It's a tremendous journey. It's a terrific read. And it finishes with the story of the Hall of Fame, which I won't spoil for people who are going to read it by, you know, quoting it word for word. But did you feel that eventually kind of brought things full circle? Was it a conclusion, as it were?
Well, it was. I mean, before the internet, in the days of snail mail, we had the feeling, well, me personally, I should speak just for myself, but I had the feeling that we had been thoroughly swept under the carpet, and our history had gone on with other people being given credit and accepting credit for doing all of these concepts that the original band collaborated on. And then I also had Crohn's disease, which may not have been helped by the bleak days after, you know, the band broke up. And I ended up in the hospital in critical condition, and the doctors didn't know if they'd be able to restore my strength enough to survive the surgery. So I was there for a month, and all of this snail mail started coming in from all over the world, from fans, and that was the best medicine ever. But my daughters had been saying, Dad, you know, you're always talking about this interview and that interview is incorrect, and so why don't you write a book? So I decided then, that was on Easter of 1997, so it took 18 years for the book to come to realization.
Well, I'm so glad that you did, and I know that so many of your fans will be too. It is a terrific read. Snakes, Guillotines, Electric Chairs, My Adventures in the Alice Cooper Group by Dennis Dunaway's, published by Omnibus Press. And Dennis, it is a pleasure and a privilege to talk to you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Tim, I really appreciate it. I enjoyed it. Thank you.